Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Win Column Bay Area. You had the Golden State Warriors bringing you there last night. Feels like a while since we've had a win around here. I was surprised to see so many people not exactly enjoy the concept of a tight game. This is how you know you've become a little bit spoiled as a fan base. Unless it's a constant 15-point lead in an in-control situation, you ask things like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Nothing really wrong with last night, but admittedly, it was a choppy night at Oracle. Some highlights, some lowlights. We're going to get to all of them as the Warriors pick up their rings. It's the first championship ring that you can put your weed in. The thing's got a little, like, flip top to it. You can open it up, and there's a little crevice in there. You can put your weight in it. It's a pretty cool ring. Although, this thing's got top fell off at a party. I lost the lid of my championship ring written all over it. It's going to happen. There will be a broken apart missing ring. The ring is going to be in pieces for somebody. Somebody. Nick Young, I'm looking at you. There's no way Swaggy P gets to keep this whole ring together for, like, the rest of his life. At some point, the top of Swaggy P's ring is going to show up on eBay. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. But really, it's certainly innovative. They had a hologram out there last night. You know what I learned about holograms? You can see it from one side. You cannot see it from the other. If you're looking at the hologram, you can see it. If you're behind the hologram, you cannot see it. Science. Warriors Wednesday is brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. This Warriors Wednesday will take a slight detour in about 45 minutes from right now into our first What If Wednesday, where we're going to take a scenario in sports, just kind of flip it on its head, and all the different things that might have happened if that one moment in time is changed. Was a weird night at Oracle, though. It was a choppy night last night. Look, I really like a ring ceremony, and I'm not saying I'm sick of them, but I just don't know how exciting they are. To me, the entire night, it doesn't crescendo with a ring ceremony. I feel like the ring ceremony is the thing that you just want to get out of the way as quickly as possible until you go to the banner reveal. To me, anyways, and maybe you feel differently about this, 888-957-9570, maybe you're into jewelry. By the way, speaking of into jewelry, Gianna was so taken aback by those rings last night, she grabbed one, was arrested on site, and she's not with us today. She's trying to make bail. Hopefully, we'll have Gianna back tomorrow. Gianna arrested last night at Oracle Arena. But I think it's all about the banner. It's all about that banner. That's what I want to see more than anything else. And when you go ahead and you have this big ceremony to slow down all the anticipation of the game, it feels like you're beginning the night pumping the brakes. It really does. I mean, Steve Kerr spends the entire afternoon, I'm sure, telling his entire team, guys, last year was last year. Put it behind you. We got to move on to the task at hand. And the very first thing you do this year is look backwards. The one thing that you've been told it's no longer time to do. There are a few other things that went into the pie of last night, and I want to know what you thought. How delicious was last night's pie? 888-957-9570. It was a weird night for a few reasons. David West, by the way, might have gotten the loudest ovation of the evening. David West or Matt Barnes? Obviously, place went crazy for Kerr and Curry and Clay and Draymond. the recruitment, I guess, of Kevin Durant has already started because Durant was introduced last. The only way I am comfortable with that is that if it was Steph Curry's idea himself. And by the way, if I were the owner and Steph Curry came up to me and said, you know what, introduce Kevin Durant last, I would say, wow, you are the most egoless, generous superstar I could have ever hoped to draft. You're an incredible. But that's the point. We drafted you. You were here before any of this. It goes back to you. You are the catalyst. You are the flashpoint that created the burn. You're going last, Steph, because you are the most important Golden State Warrior of all time. Right now, you don't need any more. You don't need to hit another basket. You don't need to lift another banner. Right now, of all time, you are the greatest Golden State Warrior. We're introducing you last, buddy. We're going to introduce you last. But Curry, who knows if it was his idea or not, Durant does get introduced last. And I heard that he was very, very enamored by it. He was happy with it. And he, on his Instagram page, put up all sorts of positive imagery of last night. And then somebody said that his brother made a comment like, hey, let's just grab these rings and get out of here. People are trying to make a big deal out of this. Apparently, the brothers already walked back and retracted the statement, saying the people are looking to it. It's Instagram. I do not care. I mean, freaking Instagram is where half your problems start, Kevin Durant. Just get the hell off Instagram. You want to be a Golden State Warrior? Delete Instagram. It's going to be a lot easier. I didn't like Curry not being introduced last, and I don't think I'm the only one who didn't like it. I think that left an odd taste in a lot of people's mouths on what we have to admit was a little bit of a choppy night because of the ceremony, and then you're going to go ahead and you're going to tip it off, and unfortunately, no Russell Westbrook in that game last night. I feel like it took the entire intensity level down a little bit. You know, we talk about mid-season form. This team's in mid-season form. Tim Roy, listen to that call. Tim Roy is in mid-season form. Oh, bye.
Draymond Green outside the arc. Fakes a handoff. Goes on the drive. Lob inside. Jones with a catch and a two-hand flush. Damian Jones with a slam. KD throws to Looney. One step. Goes inside. Block. Whistle. Throws it outside to Curry instead for three. Got it.
I tell you, they could have called a jump ball there. Looney went up, got it stuffed, and came back down.
5 for 5 as Curry beyond the arc.
So Tim Roy was ready to go. Jim Barnett, his partner last night. But I wanted to play that for you, and I wanted to play one of Curry's threes, because if we're talking about, like, why last night that building felt a little bit different than it has, it's because they changed PA announcers. Every single time I used to hear Tim Roy make a call behind him, you heard, 3 point, Tucker! Like, that was a part of the soundtrack of Oracle Arena, and last night the soundtrack was off. Straight up. Maybe I care about these things a little bit more as a broadcaster, as someone who works with a microphone for a living, and whoever the Warriors hired. I'm not trying to do a segment on he wasn't good at his job. He was fine. But I couldn't really understand him. It was muffled. And the guy that they got rid of, our friend Matthew Hurwitz, better PA announcer than the guy that they got doing this season. Right now, the soundtrack of Oracle Arena is part of my favorite things about the building. And the soundtrack was changed. And I think it affects the mood and the tone in that building dramatically. Another thing that will affect the mood and tone of your building dramatically is a price point. I'm guessing last night's ticket was not inexpensive. That felt a little bit more corporate-y of a crowd than you usually see at Oracle Arena until the playoffs roll around. Maybe in a weird way, last night was our first look at what the atmosphere might be at Chase Center. It was a different PA announcer striking a different soundtrack on an evening where Oracle Arena just, it felt a little different. Another reason why last night was choppy, it had nothing to do with the tone being set, the soundtrack, any smell in the air or anything like that. Last night, the Warriors got called for 29 personal fouls. I can't think of a team that builds whatever it's trying to accomplish tonight more around like tone and tempo and flow than the Golden State Warriors. And there was no flow to last night's game. You can't have any flow to you when you're getting called for 29 personal fouls. If you want to know how many 29 personal fouls is, it's more than were called on the Warriors at any point in time all last year. 29 personal fouls is more fouls called against the Warriors last night than at any point in time last season, playoffs included. And then another thing that just made you realize that something's a little different here. Something's just a teeny bit different here. I remember Golden State Warrior fans looking at a 5-point fourth quarter and everyone collectively agreeing, no one's leaving this. You had a game, an actual basketball game that was in question and undecided with 2 minutes left in it. And people were hitting the exits like someone pulled a fire alarm. That is a different feel to Oracle Arena. Look, it was great to see the Warriors take care of business on a night where opening night rust was on both sides of the basketball. That was a sloppy, choppy game, and the tone in the building, let's be honest, this isn't about us being sick and tired of ring ceremonies or anything like that. This is us being an astute observer of Oracle at all times. And last night, Oracle was off. Now, is that going to be a one-off because of the game, the ceremony, the rings, the everything, just the odd opening? Or is this going to define this year a little bit? I hope not. But I certainly miss the old PA guy. And I think everyone in there, whether you acknowledge or realize it or not, I think you miss it too. Warriors don't make a lot of mistakes. I think they made one right there. Big time. 888-957-9570. We got a whole bunch coming up on the Warriors last night. We're going to have our first What If Wednesday a little bit later on this hour. We've got Kirk Morrison joining me. A 5 before 5. One of the best conversations, I can promise you. It's going to be had anywhere on the radio today. Richard Sherman is going to join me at 5:30 today. Looking forward to talking to Richard Sherman. We're going to have a name game to tip off our 6 o'clock hour as well. What are we going to be giving away? I think we got a copy of NBA 2K19 to give away. Nice. By the way, you know what, Albie? Just because I know gamers need to know this thing, we need to find out if that's PlayStation or Xbox. Let's find that out because people do want to know. 888-957-9570 is the number. We are just getting underway here. The Warriors, they're just getting underway. We know what's coming up this weekend. And let's face it, if it's the NFL we're trying to talk about, let's sort of avoid that. A lot on the Warriors this afternoon and a What If Wednesday coming up here on the Damon Bruce Show.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
It's great to have you here. Thanks so much for stopping on by. The Warriors are 1-0. 81 to go. 40, if you want to go 41-0 at Oracle Arena to send her out the right way. Hopefully they might want to do that. I think they could do that if they really wanted to. It seems to be an effort, an energy level, that if the Warriors decide to bring it, there's very little the other team could do. But last night, I'll tell you, they were lucky that Russell Westbrook wasn't going, because the Thunder, Mr. Schroeder, has any player ever committed to a blonde stripe running through their hair quite the way he has? He was really, really good. That guy is an underrated player, and when Westbrook does get out there, that's the fastest backcourt in basketball, no doubt about it. But last night, we saw the Warriors get underway a very quiet, quiet 32 from Steph Curry, who also nearly triple-doubled. I mean, he had 8 rebounds and 9 assists to go along in that performance, and he is an unbelievable player. I mean, I saw that there is an awful lot being made of today. Stephen A. Smith saying that, I think Steph Curry is the best player. Like, that's great. I'll tell you right now, both Kevin Durant and LeBron James should wake up every day thanking their God that Steph Curry isn't also a 7-footer. Because if Steph Curry were a 7-footer, he would, without a doubt, be the most unstoppable force in basketball, certainly offensively. I mean, defensively, if you're a 7-footer, you're probably even better at that, too. But, I mean, the only thing that holds Steph Curry back from going number one overall in the NBA dispersal draft right now is that there are 7-footers who play like 2 guards now, like kind of all over the place. The position of unicorn, every single team is trying to find their own unicorn now. Steph Curry, he plays and produces like a unicorn, but he just doesn't look like one. The guy's unbelievable. When it comes to opening up basketball geometry, there is no weapon that opens up angles on a court quite like this guy. That's why he should never be introduced second to last. I don't care who you're trying to keep around, who you're trying to make sweet, sweet, sweet love to. And we do want Kevin Durant to stay right here. Kevin, come on. All the reasons that brought you to the Bay Area should be the reasons that keep you in the Bay Area. Basketball and winning is priority. You'd be crazy to walk away. You'd be crazy to go try to share a stage with any other superstar. After you shared a stage with Steph Curry, is there... Look, Steph Curry's greatest attribute is not his shooting. It's not his handle. It's the ability to park his ego somewhere outside of Oracle Arena and not bring it inside of Oracle Arena with him on any given night. He is so generous when it comes to sharing the stage. And that is not part of basketball culture all the time. But it's part of the culture of this team, and that's why this team is ahead of every other culture of basketball that you could shake a stick at. Kevin Durant last night, 27-8-6. Good news for Damian Jones, who had a career-high 12 points. He looked pretty confident out there. What a big body he's got. 4 big dunks, 3 blocks. I'd like to see him hit the glass a little harder. Kevon Looney last night, he might have won that game on the offensive glass alone. Kevon Looney? What do you have? Let me get this right. Offensive rebounds, Kevon Looney last night. 8. Kevon Looney had 8 offensive rebounds. That's balling. Kevon Looney might have won that game on a glass. It was an 8-point win. 888-957-9570. If you were there, what did you think of the evening? This is Tony in Napa. Tony, even if you watched on TV or listened here on 95.7 The Game, what did you think of the Warriors' season opener?
You know, I have to agree with the whole ring and the banner thing. My take on it is they're going to get the ring. They're going to take it home. They're going to put it in a drawer. They might wear it every now and then. But you know what? I don't get to see it after that. That's not my ring. That banner on the wall, I was there for every win and every loss. That's my banner. And I get to see it every time I go there. And, yes, that's why I think, you know, the banner, the ring, yeah, who cares? They pull it out, flip it over, interchangeable, whatever. The banner, we go to the Civic Center, it's still going to be on the wall, and it's still my banner.
There you go. Tony, that's they hung it just for you. I by the way, I do really like what the Warriors have done with their championship banners. I like how they got the two. Before the NBA was officially called the NBA, the first two championships there are the blue banners, and then they got their old Warriors logo on the one that they won for Rick Barry, and then the modern logos on the modern championship. I like the Warriors. They do such a great job with these moments. They really do. This is a first-rate run franchise all the way, which is why I am a little surprised that somebody at the end of last year, when they talked about, well, what do we need to do to make sure Oracle goes out the right way, said, we need to change the PA guy. Like, that was completely unnecessary. And I do think that it affected the energy in the building. It affects the energy of these calls. When I play back a highlight from Tim Royan into made three without the three-point behind it, it's just a little different. You want to talk about things that make up a building? Sound, sight, smells, energy, tone? The tone got changed. 888-957-9570. Jim from the Marina. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, I got to tell you, man, I totally agree with you. I was watching the game from home, and it didn't really hit me that, oh, the crowd is a little soft tonight until I think it was like a little over a minute left in the fourth quarter, and the Warriors were bringing the ball up. And then the crowd started to stand. And even then, it just didn't seem like Oracle. And it just seemed a little off to me, a little corporate. And that was disappointing. And I'm honestly, for many reasons, but that's one of the reasons I'm not looking forward to Chase Center, man. It's gonna lose that little something.
Well, here's the thing. And a lot of people are going to try to put it all on Chase Center. You can't. Will it change things? It certainly will. But, Jim, here's the deal. You cannot make as much noise when you're well-fed as you do when you're hungry. The roar at Oracle started with a starving fan base. Then the fan base got the appetizer, the entree. They were served double desserts. Then here comes cognac. And then what do you know? The cheese cart has come through. And now you're full and you're not ready to make nearly the amount of noise as when you were starving. And I take you back to San Antonio. Jim, I don't know how old you are. Thank you so much for calling. I really do appreciate you out there. I don't know how old you are, sir, but go back to the dawn of the San Antonio Spurs run, okay? I went to college with a guy who at the time was the single only San Antonio Spurs fan I had ever, ever met. And he used to tell me, like, oh, dude, you would not believe how loud it gets in there. Oh, the Alamo Dome. Oh, man, forget it. It's a quirky building. It's a weird building. But we haven't had success like ever. It's been nothing since George Gervin. So, you know, we are just going bonkers. And they did. The San Antonio Spurs first championship was won in front of the as wild a crowd as you're going to find anywhere in sport. You go to their last championship, it's like a golf clap. I mean, this is what happens. It's natural cycles of fandom. You start getting up for different things when you got a different list of priorities. There had been many, 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 many years of Warrior history where if I walked up to you before the season even started and I said, hey, I'll sell you an 8 seed and 1 first-round win. You don't make it out of the first round, but you take 1 win in the first round as the 8 seed. 9 out of 10 Warrior fans before Steph Curry got drafted would have been like, sold. We're an 8 seed. We're in the playoffs. Oh, my God. I'll take that right now. If I tried to sell it to any of you now, you'd run out of my store. You would be disgusted. You'd be insulted by the premise of an early exit. The life cycle of teams change, of fandom changes, and it does change the mood in the building. And that's why Steve Kerr, I think, is stressing the amount of joy that he wants to see taken from this season by his players, and I also think that's a little bit of a message for fans. This is Joe in San Francisco. Thank you for the call, Joe.
Great show. Two quick things. Looney is a good NBA starter, whether it's on the Warriors or somewhere else. Hopefully they keep him. He, besides just being a good defender, he just always knows where to be. I mean, he's just so tuned, locked in on the game.
He was a team-high plus 23 last night.
I mean, the guy, he reminds me of like a young Draymond Green, except, you know, not as good of a passer. He's more of a center. I think KD is gone. I just think for whatever the quirky reasons that brought him here, it'll probably be similar to the reasons that he goes next year. He's just kind of, he's on his own track, you know.
I think it's safe to say the man has a wandering eye, and he's always looking to improve his situation. You ever, back in your single day, I don't know if maybe you're still in your single days here, Joe, but have you ever been in a bar and you're talking to a girl and you can feel her looking past you for a better option in the room? I hate that might be the feeling that we have about Kevin Durant this year. I'm going to try to avoid it. It's not something that I want to talk about every single day on this show, but it does feel like Kevin Durant, who walked into the bar with the Golden State Warriors, is already looking around the room for a better option for him to leave with. And the reason why I think it's tough for people to wrap their mind around is because all the reasons that brought Kevin here should be among the reasons that keep him here. You wanted a better basketball team culture? Well, you have one. You're totally set up. But maybe that is just not how the modern superstar is wired in their own head. I mean, if you told me that Kevin Durant is more interested in a tough basketball challenge than he is another Warrior championship on Easy Street, okay, maybe I could sort of wrap my mind around that, but like, to me, the biggest reason for him to go would be because of the internet. And to me, that's just not a reason that I'll ever be comfortable saluting. You know, that's just me. Tyler in San Jose. What's going on, Tyler?
What up, buddy? Not much is in this beautiful traffic on 880.
Congratulations.
I don't have enough money to go to these games, so I was cozy on my couch watching it. But I had to tell my lady to take a seat because, you know, we don't get to experience the ring ceremony. You know, we're going to be telling our kids this, you know what I mean? So it was a cool sight to see. One more thing to speak on the rings that they got, man. I thought they were pretty cool. I might sound like a little hater, but I don't like the fact that they come apart, they spin around. You know, it looks like you could put it on your refrigerator or something, man.
It's very millennial. It's very fidget spinner.
Yeah.
A ring, I guess, is a ring is too boring. I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at my wedding ring right now. I will say this, no frills. It's very important. It means a lot to me. It's very symbolic. It's technically expensive, too. This sucker's platinum. This is way, I had a choice. There was like, hey, do you want your wedding ring to look exactly like this and cost $1,000 less? And I was like, well, kind of. And my wife's like, you know, it's going to be the ring, the only ring that you wear your whole life. You might as well make it a good one. And I said, all right, you are right. I plan to wear this until I die. So, sure, make it platinum. We'll go first class. But you wouldn't know it just by looking at it. Like, now that I told you about it, you know about it. But you wouldn't be like, wow, look at that. Those rings are, like, big, gaudy, wow, look at them rings. But rings aren't enough anymore. I look at it this way. If the Warriors three-peat, the next ring probably comes with DirecTV. It really does. I don't mean like it comes with a subscription. I mean like you can tune in. You can get it right on your ring. Be like, what are you watching? A ring vision. Yeah, I mean, it takes more than just a ring to impress a millennial. Let's go to Josh in Fremont. Look, here's the thing. They're kind of cool, but I know that someone's going to lose theirs. There's no doubt about it, and that someone will be Nick Young. We got Josh in Fremont. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, yo, what's going on? Big fan of the show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Hey, so I was there last night at the game, and those tickets, they're not cheap.
No, they're not.
I'm not a Silicon Valley Titan, so I was going to say the whole time, but the crowd was super weak, and I really wasn't feeling that, especially for the last season at Oracle. And to have people leave, like, before the game was even over, given that it's a close game, I thought that was disgraceful. I mean, it's the last season, crowd weak, and the game's tied up. It's close throughout the whole thing. How can you leave, like, with that much time on the clock and to have people leave? That's disgraceful.
I just think, Josh, it is the price of success. It's the price of success that no stadium does not pay. You win as often as the Warriors win. The ticket prices go up. The diehard fan gets priced out a little bit, especially for a big night. Like, when do the Warriors play at Oracle next? They're on the road. What, Friday they're in Utah, and then they come home. Is it Sunday or Sunday? No, they come home on Monday. They're going to be home Monday next week, I believe. All we need to do is open up a schedule. This information is readily available.
Monday yeah. versus the Suns, which is
Monday
what I was thinking.
Yeah, Monday versus the Suns. I bet you that crowd will be twice as good as this crowd. That was an expensive ticket last night. And by the way, I do know because I bought one for my wife. Gianna actually bought one for her husband as well. And my wife and Gianna's husband sat together in the upper deck while Gianna and I were covering the game. And it was an expensive ticket. But I wanted Jillian to see the last opening night with her own two eyes. I'll tell you, you want a really good crowd? Take yourself up to the upper deck. Like, if you're willing to sacrifice a little lower bowl proximity for a better game experience, go sit with the fans in the upper deck. It still gets rowdy and fun up there. I swapped seats with Pete halfway through the game. I had fun in the upper deck. There's some noise up there.
You know, Damon, yeah. I take the Coliseum BART. That's the BART near my house.
Yeah.
And so I took BART home last night after I was done here. And usually when it's game day, you see Warriors fans everywhere. You're on BART with a bunch of Warriors fans. It's loud and stuff. But yesterday I was getting there right before game time, maybe during the ring ceremony. Maybe that means everyone was already in their seats, which is good. That's what we've been encouraging. But I didn't feel like a game-like atmosphere. I wouldn't have even thought there was a game. I saw one OKC fan and then the guys scalping tickets. But besides that, it wasn't too hyped up. So I'm not surprised to hear that inside it was kind of like that.
And it was a crowd that definitely was in its seat for the ceremony of the whole thing. But they were just... One of my favorite things before a big game is big game buzz. And there just wasn't a lot of buzz in the building. I don't know. It was a funny crowd. It was an odd night. And then the game did not lend itself to an awful lot of excitement because both teams were a little sloppy and the officiating was a lot choppy. Again, last night the Warriors were called for 29 personal fouls, which is more fouls against them than in any game all last year, including the playoffs. Barney is in Oakland. What's going on, Barney?
Hey, David, I was at the game last night, and, you know, season ticket holder at section 124.
Nice. Oh, that's kind of right where Gian and I sit, actually.
Oh, yeah, right by the tunnel where the Warriors go in and out, as you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it was a little bittersweet, and I agree with everything everyone's saying. And I actually want to make a point about Kevin Durant, and I think this insecurity thing is really becoming diagnosable at this point. And I just feel like, you know, humanity's been around for, you know, thousands of years, and no matter how long we go, no matter how much technology we get, at the end of a long day, you're always going to have poop on your butthole.
Well, thank you very much, Barney. Those are deep thoughts, I think, for everyone to consider. This is Jay in Hayward. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how you doing? Love the show.
Thank you.
I actually grew up right there. I grew up Oakland. I was there last night. I went for the history of it all, the last thing, last year in Oakland. I actually grew up Raider Oakland, A's Warriors. I thought that was always the perfect trifecta. But what I was happy to see was Clifford Ray. I grew up under him, Sonny Parker. The PA announcer, you're right. That blew me away. As well as I really had fun and enjoyed the older women and men that got out there and did their little routine.
Oh, what do they call them? The hardwood classics? Yeah, they were great. They might, outside of the ring ceremony, David West and maybe Matt Barnes' introduction, they got the biggest ovation of the night. They really did.
But I did want to touch on one point. You just brought it up. Like I said, I grew up with Clifford Ray, and shortly after that, it was hard times for Warrior fans. And I wanted to bring my daughters, and I have a good job. I paid $300 a pop for some seats right there in 108. I had some good seats in the 100 section, about row 18 or so. But, man, when I look around, I'm like, the way I root, I said, I'm a Raider fan. I'm vocal the whole nine. I felt like the police could be coming at me any minute. And you just said upstairs, if I really want that experience, because down in the 100s, man, it's not, you know, we used to be rowdy out there as far as fanhood, and now you almost feel like, damn, if I cuss or if I root too loud, they're going to call the non-fan, you know, the rowdy fan, 1-800, you know, because the refs were horrible last night.
Yeah, you know, no, the last thing you want is anybody texting in arena security that the guy next to me is cheering too hard for the Golden State Warriors, for goodness sakes. I'll tell you what, Jay, my advice to you, save a little money and sit next to a better group of fans. You know what?
Yeah.
Make the last season of Oracle a season in the upper deck. That might be our battle cry.
Ooh, that's how I grew up. Get in there, get to the upper deck, and make your way down to the bottom.
There you go. You're the man, Jay. Thank you very much. I think we're on to something. You want to sit with the rowdies? Get yourself upstairs. Absolutely. Absolutely. We still got a full call board here. A lot of people want in, so here's what we're going to do. If you're on hold, we're going to take your call at 4 o'clock, the debut of What If Wednesday here on 95.7 The Game. Don't you go anywhere.
Now back to the Damon Blue Show on 95.7 The Game.
Very little doubt in my mind that last night was step one in the, even though he's here, we still have to recruit Kevin Durant treatment, that a lot of this season might actually have feeling around it. This is Steph Curry's franchise, by the way. It really is. The fact that they introduced Durant last rubbed me the wrong way just a little bit. It's probably Steph Curry being incredibly egoless that allowed Kevin Durant to be introduced last. Or maybe Steph is just like, hey, man, he did win two finals MVPs, so you want to introduce him last? Fine, whatever. Doesn't matter. Here's the thing. It might matter to him. It doesn't matter to me. And that's why Steph Curry is just freaking awesome. You know, no one ever needs to be apologized for not being born into the family. You know what I mean? Like Kevin Durant was not birthed by the Warriors, but he's part of the family now, and we want him to remain part of the family. But there is something about the homegrown kid that the player you traded for or added via free agency, there'll never be that feel. If Derek Jeter had started his career somewhere else but finished up in New York, he wouldn't be the captain. In order to be the captain, you had to have been drafted by the Yankees. And in order to be on the Steph Curry level of Golden State Warrior importance, you have to have been drafted by this team. And maybe that's something that Kevin Durant feels. Maybe that's a tangible feeling that he thinks, you know, look, no matter what I do, no matter how many NBA finals, MVPs I stack up or titles I help add to the trophy case, it's always going to be Steph, Clay, Draymond, me. Maybe that's it. If I were him, I would take a max deal and officially not care. I'd just be dunking on the world, winning a lot, making the most amount of money possible, but that's just me. 888-957-9570, the whole Damon real fans can't afford the games. I see an awful lot of that on the text line. Look, I know a lot of people get priced out. That is the price of success. That's what happens. Ticket prices don't go down for anything. Ticket prices to icecapades don't go down. Ticket prices to championship basketball teams don't go down. Ticket prices to, hey, that band that you saw in the 80s coming around on tour again, you're not going to pay less this time around. Everything goes up. The notion of if you're wealthy, you can't be a real fan is also a little classist, if you don't mind. I know a lot of wealthy people who are diehard fans. The problem in that building is the amount of success that's been enjoyed in that building. And you cannot, look, you can't. If I talk to you all day long, would you still be hanging on my every word? 4 hours of Damon Bruce is probably about enough for most people. If this was a 24-hour Damon Bruce show, I mean, you'd be like, all right already, stop, nah, you know, please. Too much of anything might be bad for the equation. And it's crazy. Too much success probably gives birth to a less rabid, less enthusiastic, more entitled fan. That's just the way it goes. Chase Center employee is this next caller's name from Concord. Chase Center employee, how are you?
Hey, how's it going? I don't think it's going to be another championship race because they already cut 5,000 seats out of this place. So therefore, you lose 5,000 fans off of that. And then, like y'all was just discussing, they're going to price people out. So that's at least another 1,000. So all that roaring and loud noise, it's not coming from the East Bay no more. They just made that stadium off the East Bay's money.
Well,
are they going to price people out and cut people out?
Oh, well, hold on. There's a lot of people from all over the Bay who go to Oracle. That's not just East Bay noise. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you've ever walked into AT&T Park in the playoffs, that thing was like Brooklyn level loud. That was Bronx. That was nasty. Don't ever, ever disrespect the San Francisco crowd. Concerts, comedy clubs, sporting events, we do it as good as anybody. Straight up. The whole East Bay roots harder is a freaking myth only told and shared by people in the East Bay. San Francisco is no joke when it comes to being a great crowd. It's a great crowd. But it does change a little. Look, and it's the success that changed. I guarantee you that the last touchdown caught by the 49ers dynasty at Candlestick wasn't nearly as loud as the catch was. You know, I mean, like, come on, of course it wasn't. That's what happens. When you get used to things, you expect them. And people just expect the Warriors to come on out and from opening tip-off be up by 22 points and cruise all night long. That's what people expect. If the Warriors are actually in a six-point game in the fourth quarter, instead of saying, ooh, we got a game tonight, people are saying, what's wrong? Something's wrong here. Oh, there's nothing wrong here. You just got a game tonight. But you're so used to just blowout city that you're like, man, this sucks that we actually got a game here tonight. I came to watch someone be skinned alive. You tell me we got a nail biter? Come on. And you know, that's, look at it this way. The problems that the Warriors are having are great problems to have, by the way. If you're complaining and like, man, you know, we're so used to winning, we got a little bougie. Like, that's a point everyone wants to reach in sports, isn't it? Steven in Vallejo, what's going on, Steven? You wanted to talk about the ring ceremony.
Yeah, how's it going, Damien? Hey, if Gianna needs some fail money, I'll throw in on it.
Thank you very much.
So I think for the ring ceremony, I love to see what the rings are going to look like. But I think they should do the ceremony maybe before the first home preseason game. And then for the home opener, you got a quick little 15-minute unveiling of the banner for the opening night.
Yeah, I like they did a tribute video to the Warriors that I actually thought was better than the ring ceremony. The best part of the ring ceremony wasn't the actual ring. It's when they brought the guy who'd been working for the organization for 3 decades out to take a bow. That was fantastic. That was a moment that people remember. The size and gaudiness of your jewelry, I mean, I don't know. That doesn't appeal to me. I really don't care. And if rings meant to, well, I guess I did see them give away rings at AT&T Park. I think they had ring day at AT&T Park when the Giants won. But I've never seen, like, an NFL player show up at a stadium and put a ring on. Like, that officially happens at a banquet, off-season, off-site somewhere. I'm not here to be anti-jewelry. I'm not anti-ring. I just think that when it comes to, hey, we got to throw this up and play tonight, it gets in the way of the flow of the routine of the night. And if I were a basketball team, I wouldn't want anything in my way, not even a ring ceremony. Let's just do the banner. Rico, calling from Brisbane. What's up, Rico?
Hey, Damon. I just wanted to give my 2 cents on the ticket prices. I wasn't able to make it out last night, but I did have a buddy call me at 5 o'clock saying, hey, resale, they were under $100 up in the rafters, diehard fans. A group of them did buy and went out there. So they're not everyone's not totally outpriced. You know, $100 isn't easy, but still it's way better than what they were the week before.
Yeah, look, there's a certain proximity to where, you know, if you're that close, you got a lot of money. And if you are in the building all the way up here, whether you got a lot of money or not, doesn't matter. You care. You just wanted to be in here. And I really think if you're looking for atmosphere, you're probably going to get better atmosphere sitting as close to the upper deck's back wall as you do now sitting courtside. If you really want fans, if you really want to be surrounded by noise, Gucci Row is not helping. By the way, that's not a throwback to Garoppolo. That's what they used to call, what, Gucci Row? Wasn't that UNLV back in the Jerry Tarkanian days? I think it was. This is Jeff in Pleasanton. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey there. I got a point to make. I just wanted to say something real quick before I get into it, though. I was wondering what your thought is on them doing a ring ceremony during maybe the open practice. Because I agree, it kind of throws off the opening night, you know?
Sure. I mean, I just think that putting it before a game and then having the game tip off without Russell Westbrook, like the whole thing felt like everyone was ready to go, but then you just couldn't really get going and get into it. I don't know. It's just weird. Give the rings away at a players-only banquet and let them all get up and tell stories and then sell us a DVD. I don't care.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, I'll get into it real quick. I was at the game last night and got lucky. I'm actually a real fan. I got to be, you know, pretty close. We got to see you down there, so that was great. But I don't know if you noticed, the sections kind of start clearing out. I don't know what was ingested, but, I mean, you were ripping some loud, smelly farts.
I like the four fans who were like, you know what, man? We're going to have prank calls on the radio today. It's going to be so cutting edge. Great stuff. Sam in Oakland. How are you, Sam? Oh, no? Is that not working? My whole button just die here? What's going on? Let's go to Sam in Oakland. Sam. Yep. Hey, Sam, are you with me?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I got you now. What do you got?
Three quick hitters. One, I met you and Dibley on the field at an A's appreciation a few years ago. You were very nice. I met both that night, but I was actually more excited to meet you, and you guys were incredibly gracious, so thanks for that.
Oh, thank you, Sam.
Number number two, you keep calling it the upper deck. It's called Club 200.
Thank you. Let's get that right. Club 200.
And then the last thing is I was lucky enough to sit down in section 16, which is super close, and we had like a season ticket package, and we had to give them up because I was actually warned by stadium security for standing up and cheering. The only place you can stand at that stadium is right behind the scorer's table, where I guess the oldest real fans sit. But, you know, it's not – you compared it to the Bronx. It's not the Bronx. I've seen games in the Bronx, and you can stand and you can clap. And you
well,
can,
nah, you know what? Yeah. I've heard down in front in New York too, okay? Like, here's the deal. The whole – I'm going to stand, I'm a real fan guy, is actually, if you're the only one doing it in the section, you're kind of a jackass. Like, that does bother. I was at a Raider game a couple years. It was the game where Derek Carr broke his damn ankle. It was the broken ankle game. And there was this guy sitting in the section who was just, I mean, he wanted everyone to be like, oh, isn't he a great fan? Look at him. Like, he was the, I'm trying to, you know, get up, get up. Get up, everybody! He was that guy who was busier yelling about you getting loud on third down than he was paying attention to the game, and it's actually second down. Like, his back is to the field, and he's doing a performance for his section more than he is even watching a game. Like, I can't stand that fan. There are moments to get loud. There are moments to rise. And there's also a moment to sit the hell down. No one else in the stand, no one else in the section is standing up right now. No, man, I'm going to pull this whole section up with me. I'm going to be a one-man wave. Fan rubs me the wrong way, too. But the fan who complains instantly, like automatically, like, oh, the second somebody stands up, I got to... No, I mean, the real problem is nobody knows how to talk to anybody anymore. Excuse me, sir, we're not up here. Can you sit down? Thank you. Anyways, we will get back to this. I can promise you much more coming up. 888-957-9570. Your calls are still going to be welcome. Kirk Morrison coming up around the corner about a very interesting, well, we'll pretend it's supposed to be a very interesting football game coming up at Levi's Stadium. But we have something new on a Wednesday. We're calling it What If Wednesday, and we're going to start it right now here in our 4 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.